All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Thursday, July 27th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
And we're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com here to break down a very short slate in MLB today.
Yeah, this is a couple short ones.
Yeah, this is eight games is about as few as you ever really see on baseball, because considering they play every single day and every team seems to play every single day. So when you get one that's only eight games, I don't know, kind of jumped out to me. But we have two different slates here. We have a noon, or like around the noon hour, one and three games, and then a five-game evening slate that we'll get into. We can break down the noon one first, I think. We did miss the podcast yesterday. My stomach was hurting, buddy. I wasn't feeling so good. Sorry about that.
You had a little bellyache?
Yeah, a little tum-tum. A little tum-tum thing.
A little NBA flu for you?
I gotta be honest with you, it did feel like the NBA flu, because I kind of felt better by noon. I kind of actually felt better all of a sudden after we had canceled the podcast. Like when you go to the doctor and you're like, I'm just sitting in the waiting room now and I'm kind of already feeling better. So I guess I'll just go through.
I'd stayed up late the night before, and when you sent that text and I text back like, all right, man, if you need to, no problem. But like deep down, it's like when your wife comes and it's like, bad news about the drum circle. It got canceled. We're not going to be able to go. And you're like, oh, no. I guess we're going to have to watch Monday Night Football now instead. Oh, well. That's really bad news. Thanks for telling me. That's really bad news.
My aunt and uncle had a cancer dinner plans tonight, so they're not going to be able to come over on this Friday night and bring their neighbor that you don't know along to. No.
God. Darn it.
Oh, all right. God. So anyway, bad news on the Wednesday podcast, but we're here like heroes doing Thursday. So this one, I'll be honest, this is a tale of two slates, right? The early noon slate feels not easy, but the decisions are pretty crystallized, I think. And the evening slate is an absolute hot mess, at least on DraftKings, but we can get into that. On the early, it's all Scherzer here, right? Like, I mean, for FanDuel, minimum, we're only going one pitcher. He seems so far ahead of the pack, and just in terms of just, and this is, and look, you don't need any kind of in-depth modeling system to figure out that this is the play here, I don't think. But Scherzer on FanDuel, I think, seems pretty clear. We can break down a couple of these other guys. It probably comes down to who we pair with him on DraftKings, but Scherzer's a clear play, correct?
Yeah, it's a slam dunk. I mean, the price is actually not outrageous, which is very, very welcome. I mean, even on DraftKings, I think you play him there too, and you get a good running mate with him and Bauer. It just seems kind of easy. I think you can also just kind of make it all work by some of the available bats too. Like the three-game slate, you know, it's interesting with baseball because even when there's a lot of games going on, like this happened yesterday, there's sometimes less going on than it might appear, because especially if you get like kind of those middle of the road pitchers, it's just much ado about nothing, right? Because you're not going to play guys in middle of the road matchups in terms of bats, and you're not going to play middle of the road pitchers. So those games might as well not exist. But today we actually get across just a three-game slate, we get a pretty good sampling of good available options. So it's pretty nice.
Milwaukee strikes out a bunch. Scherzer strikes a lot of batters out. He's got a little, I mean, I wouldn't even call it an issue, but he will let up a home run from time to time. You can say that about almost any pitchers, but well, not really. The heavy ground ball guys, you really don't say that as much about, but he's not a ground ball guy. He's more of a fly ball strikeout pitcher, and the home runs will kind of jump up and bite him every once in a while. That being said, he's one of the top three best pitchers, maybe top two best pitchers in baseball. 12.5 Ks per nine, 3.07 xFIP. ERA even better than that at 2.26. So,
and the Brewers have been jockeying for the top overall slot in the majors in terms of striking out against righties. It's just like a great spot. It's a full slate slot. Like, we would consider him heavily, even in a competitive slate. So yeah, it's just a kind of a dream spot.
After him, you mentioned Bauer, pairing him with Bauer on DraftKings. Make the case for that. I mean, he's cheap. I see that. I can see some people probably not wanting to go there. He's had some ERA issues. But do you think pairing him with Bauer at 7,700 does make sense there against the Angels?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty easy call, actually. Bauer, double-digit Ks per nine. He has flexed big-time K stuff in the past, and actually kind of seems like he's growing into it in his age 26 season here. The walks have definitely been a concern, but really what's troubled him this season has been the BABIP above and beyond everything else. The 348 BABIP is 50 points above his established career levels, you know, that he had established over 650 innings. The home run to fly ball ratio is actually up from very, very consistent 11.6% numbers to 16.1. It seems like when that all comes back down to earth, I mean, the famous last ones with Bauer and all, I know we've been sort of recommending him on and off all season because he's been unlucky from the word go, and we've been willing to throw him out there. But just another good spot against the Angels, you know, 20% K rate worst WOBA against right-handed pitching in all the major, or in all the AL rather, sorry. So just looks like a good spot. I don't know, 7,700, highly worth consideration. Big time consideration for GPPs on FanDuel too. Just again, another spot. Like it's not even like a Mike Leake, you know, Estrada sort of situation on DraftKings. Like I would actively be happy to play Bauer there. And I think you should be too, Doug.
Yeah, Vegas favors it. I think the line started at him at -150 and 9. It's kind of up now to -169. Now it's the run line came up to 9.5, and a lot of that came up actually on the Angels side of the ball. So it's kind of going the wrong direction for him. That being said, there just isn't a great other option. I can see people wanting to maybe play Marcus Stroman. He's just way too expensive. Like Stroman is 11.5. Stroman's a fine pitcher. The strikeouts aren't there. He's a heavy ground ball guy. Like, he kind of is able to just get away. 63% ground ball rate is elite. So,
yeah, no, he's great.
That's where his bread is buttered. But the problem with him is you just cannot pay $11,500 for a guy that strikes out less than 7.5 batters per nine.
No way. You just don't get extra points for ground balls the same way you do for strikeouts. So that's just kind of kills him altogether.
Right, he is a favorite there, and the matchup is better against the A's. So I recognize all those things. It's just the fact that he's, I don't know, so much more expensive that you just can't. It's too much to pay for a guy who doesn't strike out. And yes, I get that his situation is better and whatever, and he's going to go later in the game. The other guys on this list are pretty much non-considers for me. You're not really incentivized to start Manaea against an already Toronto lineup, so you can kind of wash that one away. JC Ramirez, no thanks against Cleveland. That's the
give me 2,000 quick words on Michael Blazek. Just give people a picture of why they should or should not play Michael Blazek today.
Well, I had to come up with a projection for him this morning.
I hope it was a bad one, because here's the thing about Michael Blazek. This is his first career start in the majors. He hasn't even started a minor league game since 2014, aside from this year in AAA. And he's been real bad, even as a reliever in the majors. Last year, in 41 innings, he had 6 walks per 9, Doug. So I hope no one is super enthusiastic about it. Like, someone inevitably is going to say, Blazek for GPPs on DraftKings, and we're going to have to gently guide them in a different direction, because that's not a thing. You can't play Michael Blazek in any format. He might even not even be available on DraftKings, actually, but you just can't play the guy. He's not good. And in fact, I'm very enthusiastic about stacking Washington going the other way. I think Blazek is going to get absolutely blown up today.
It was one of those situations where making his projection, just getting something in there for him. It was kind of one of those situations, we do this every once in a while with guys like this, we're like, who else sucks that we can cut? I need to find someone who like really truly sucks that's already in our database, that has like some kind of baseline projection, and just kind of like sift through the list and find some other crappy comps, and that's who you kind of give Blazek him. There's a couple guys that just got flexing today that's kind of got a similar treatment here, but I like slates like this. I don't always gravitate toward really short slates because it's sometimes, especially on FanDuel, the edge is really diminished because most people are just kind of playing a lot of the same guys, and then you're kind of just waiting on a home run. I just don't love that situation. That being said, when the pitching seems completely crystallized, and some of these teams, like there's three teams just in great spots. Well, there's two teams in really good spots, and then one that's in an okay spot. I would say Cleveland is in a really good spot. Washington's a really good spot, and Toronto, they're cheap, and that's what kind of makes them playable. Manaea is actually kind of a pitcher, so that does worry me a little bit.
Yeah, Manaea's pretty good, but they're all right-handed. I mean, Manaea's not like Clayton Kershaw from the left side of the mound. He's just fine, and Toronto has guys that you can, you know, pretty easily qualify as better than fine versus lefties, so I'd be happy to play them. Again, short slate, man. Like, what do you want, Doug? Goodness.
And their thing is they're just cheap, too. Like, guys like Donaldson and Bautista hitting, and even Russell Martin hitting at the top of the lineup, they're still just coming so cheap relative to... And I know they aren't having their best seasons of all time, so I'm completely aware of that for Donaldson and Bautista, but they're just... This is the better side of their split. Their prices are massively depressed. They hit the top of that lineup. It kind of just does all lineup for me. Now, I'm going to be playing this late with the normal buy-in, probably maybe even a little bit more, just because when I see a guy like Scherzer there, I just kind of trend to want... there's so much safety in these top-end arms that I just don't think people don't completely realize, and just in terms like how much better he is than really everyone else in baseball, and especially everyone else on the slate. So those are the slates that I kind of want to sink my teeth into. All right, we're going to talk some evening slate here, though I was able to simultaneously tilt here when my neighbor's landscaper showed up.
at the same time the Washington Nationals lineup came out. So just as longtime or anytime listeners of the podcast will know that I'm trying, those are the two things that probably caused me my most strife in my life, is like the sound of a lawnmower in the background slash seeing Wilmer Defoe hit second with Anthony Rendon hitting sixth. Which one do you think I should be more mad about, do you think? Which one is more realistic to be mad about? They're both completely realistic to be mad about, but which one do you think is more?
That's a really good one. I'm not sure exactly. You can't have one without the other, I guess. It's extremely egregious to have an MVP caliber player like Rendon batting sixth. Like, I'm trying to think of a good comparison for how much just win equity that leaves on the table for them. But it's honestly just hard to come up with. He's just such an excellent offensive player. And the fact that they're just basically just for no reason denying him a half a plate appearance per game, it's insane. Like, that's like, so say he should probably lead off for them, right? Or at least bat second.
But yeah, Harper should lead off and he should bat second, or you can possibly flip them.
Probably like, Rendon batting in front of him, I would guess. But either way, you're costing him about 80 plate appearances over the course of a season. And just to like do some quick math on that, Rendon this season has a 5 WAR. So again, MVP quality considering we're halfway through the season. He has 380 plate appearances. If you prorate that over the course of the whole, of, or just like what he's done so far, we're talking about leaving something like a full WAR or so on the table by the end of the season, or maybe two. Like, that's a, like an actual crime against humanity. That's like,
well, right. And for those who don't know,
that means like you could basically put just a bot in as your manager who just sort by on base percentage and then like just do whatever else. And all the inspirations, like, two WAR is so much. Like, you were going to say, for those that don't know, were you going to say something to that effect?
I was just going
to
say the WAR just stands for wins above replacement. So when you say you're leaving two WAR, you just are, you know, possibly just leaving two wins on the table. I just want to make sure people know exactly what that two means.
Well, and I think they don't even maybe totally understand what, like, wrap your mind, because that doesn't sound like very many wins over the course of the season. You're like, oh, I'll lose a couple games. This year, Robinson Cano has been worth exactly two WAR over just replacement level second baseman. So the difference between having Robinson Cano at second base versus a guy like, let's see, I can't even find any second baseman with zero WAR. Zero WAR is very, very uncommon, but just like a generic dude, scrap heap off the minors guy. Yunel Escobar has zero WAR this year, you know, like Rougned Odor has zero WAR. Just like, just a total, and Rougned Odor, by the way, has a 255 on base percentage. So you can downgrade Cano to Odor. No one in their right mind would do that, but batting Rendon sixth instead of first is basically the same drop off. It leaves me breathless. It's just such a bad decision.
And it's just year after year with this. And I know we're going to move on here, but it's just year after year with this bad decision making. And when teams like the Nationals win in spite of it, it makes me even more mad, because like they just have the talent to keep winning anyway. Like, which proves that just about anybody could just don the old stretchy pants and big shirt and just like walk into the dugout and just be the manager. So anyway, we'll move on to something that's even more, I don't know, perplexing, is this evening slate for both FanDuel and DraftKings. There's only 5 games. There's 2 pitchers worth a salt, and then there's really nobody else. And then we're going to have a real hard time here on DraftKings. I think the first decision on FanDuel is basically Lester. Or it's Lester or Archer. You get Lester against the White Sox, and you get Archer against the Yankees. If you had to pick one of those two guys right now, they're about the same price. And Archer's a little bit more expensive. If you had to pick one or the other, just considering the matchup and the price and everything, who would you choose between those two?
Well, I mean, neither is in a terrific spot for me. I guess it's so close because, well, I'm just going to start talking cases, and hopefully I'll land on something eventually. The tricky thing with Lester, because the White Sox this season, if you just look at their overall run scoring totals, haven't been very good, but they've actually been quite good against left-handed pitching. They have a 333 WOBA against left-handed pitching, which is good for 8th in the league. Of course, the Yankees have been the second best team in the league in terms of OBA against, or WOBA against right-handed pitching. So both of the matchups are pretty poor here. And actually, the K rates against both are almost the same, both hovering around that 22% range. So I guess you would have to give the nod toward the Yankees in terms of just being the worst matchup on the basis of the WOBA. We go from there. Both parks aren't very good. I guess you just want to drill down and figure out who the better pitcher is. And if we're just trying to figure out who the better pitcher is, I guess I would say Archer. So maybe I would lean that way just in terms of the overall tiebreaker. What's your gut telling you?
Yeah, there's two. Well, there's two tiebreakers I would use, and they one works for one and one works for the other, right? So both those teams, White Sox and Yankees, have the same implied runs right now, around 4 point, or about the same, 4.2 implied runs each. So both are looking to both pitchers. I mean, theoretically, but if you're going to use Vegas as a metric here, are going to allow the same amount of runs. Now, Archer strikes out significantly more batters than Lester does. Archer strikes out more than 11 per nine. Lester is more, you know, just above nine. So just above strikeout inning. Both very good. Archer is elite. So there you get the odd to Narcher. Odd to Narcher. Jeez, I said Narcher twice. Odd. Not, man, I think odd to Narcher. I said that two times, and I almost said it a third time because I couldn't figure out what I was saying wrong. And then I realized I was not saying nod. There we go. Nod to Archer there. But then if you go the other way, like in terms of win expectation, Archer's actually an underdog here, and Lester's a minus 220 favorite. So it's really close. All these factors, like we put all these factors into our system, and these guys basically come out as a tie on FanDuel. So we have Lester at 34.5, right, and we have Archer at 33.5, and neither of those will stay. Like as things kind of move around today, lineups come in, they'll move one way or the other. It's really close. I think if I had to choose right now, I would just go Lester based on the win expectation, and I just really wouldn't feel that great about it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just think as enthusiastic as I was about the three-game slate early, I'm as bearish on this late slate. Like I talked about all the factors that can make games kind of non-entities, which is basically, you know, extremely bad parks, kind of middle-of-the-road pitching. This slate just checks all those boxes for me. Like it's just a lot of guys or a lot of parks where you're not really thrilled, low totals, that kind of thing. So it's going to feel tough. No matter how you cut this, it's going to feel very tough to walk away from this conversation feeling like, yep, we got the plan. Let's go do this thing. Like it's just one of those slates.
Well, let me throw a third name here then, because and he's cheaper and his matchup isn't good either, but his peripherals are pretty good, is Zach Godley. So Godley is 2,000 less than Archer, 8,500 on FanDuel, 1,500 less than Lester. Godley's been pretty good this year. His actually numbers are very similar to Lester's in that his strikeout rate is the same as Lester's. His walk rate is nearly identical to Lester's. He's cheaper than both those other guys, 1,000 less than he's 1,000 less than Lester. No, 1,500 less than Lester and 2,000 less than Archer. Can you make a case for Godley here? His peripherals are good. The matchup isn't great, but the savings you get on him, is it worth it to pay down here? You're probably almost definitely going to do it on DraftKings where you have to roster two guys, but is there a case here for Godley?
I think there's a great case for Godley, and actually he's the guy I'm most excited about on the slate, honestly. First and foremost, the matchup might not be excellent, but it's a better matchup than either Archer or Lester have, at least in terms of their platoon splits and strikeout rates against the various teams that they're playing. And also Godley, I mean, his peripherals have been good, but the other thing I really like to keep an eye on with young pitchers is how deep he's going into games, averaging 6.2 innings per start this season, which is also just excellent. Like, you know, the ground ball rate's good, which should drive down some of the other potential issues that young pitchers often have, like just getting blown up in terms of home runs, getting out of his tough home park. Like, I don't know. I think Godley is actually just a significant cut above both Lester and Archer in terms of safety on a points per dollar basis.
That's interesting. The Vegas line is not really helping him much. That line actually just came in. I'm not sure what they were waiting on. Maybe it was figuring out the Cardinal starting pitcher. I think it's going to be Luke Weaver, though that might have changed. I'll check on that. But this is basically a pick'em at a nine total. So that's around 4.5 implied runs for the Cardinals. It's a little high for cash games. I still think it's fine on DraftKings just because he's so much cheaper. But it feels a little high. I think you probably want to choose. I think I'm going to choose one of the two between Lester and Archer just because I don't know. I think
Archer also in a pick'em in the exact same scenario. Pick'em and with a total of nine. So
right, but it also strikes out two guys more per nine. They're
2,000 more expensive.
I agree. You're right. No, this is a close decision. The problem I think you're going to actually really have is on DraftKings where both Lester and Archer are really expensive. Like Lester's almost 12,000, Archer's 1,100. I don't want to play either of them at those prices, right? Like, and then you're really stuck because if you don't play either of them and you play like Godley plus, like the list after them is Sabathia, Weaver, Stevenson, O'Grady, I can't even read these guys, Perdomo, and Chris Flexen. I guess at that point you probably just do have to pay up for one of the other two guys and maybe pair them with Godley But then are you committing too much to, are you committing too much of your salary to pitching there? I mean, the decision on DraftKings is actually kind of terrible tonight.
Yeah, I do agree that the pitching on DraftKings is pretty terrible. I'm not sure how you'll manage to walk away from that with anything you feel good about. I'm not sure any of the other cheaper options actually feel realistic to me. Like, you know, Stevenson with his 8 ERA. Luke Weaver, I think, is kind of a real pitcher, but you're not going to, like, he's been just kind of absent from the major league scene this year. He's thrown 3 innings across the 2 games. It was pretty good in the minors. I don't know. Weaver might be another guy, actually, you might wind up thinking a little more hardly about. More hardly? Goodness me. You want to think harder about. He did have great peripherals in 2016 when he came up. Kind of weird ERA problems there, too. So, you know, it's tough to know with young pitchers where you should trust ERA and XFIP, how things are all going to normalize and so on. But just another guy with big-time strikeout stuff. So it wouldn't actually shock me if the optimal solution is to just run Godley and Weaver and kind of hope for the best, knowing that you'll be up against it a little bit. But, yeah, if there's blow-up potential for guys like Archer and Lester, tonight's the night for it, too. So I don't know. Like, I think if you're playing DraftKings, you're taking a risk regardless.
Yeah, I don't love it. I could see taking this night slate off just for this very reason. I don't think you're getting an insane deal anyway. I'd be worried a little bit on the pitch count for Weaver because most all of his appearances this year have been out of the bullpen, and so I'm just like not sure how long they're willing to keep him in games, which would be a big problem. Also, like, he was a starter in the minors, so I actually need to go back and
research. He averaged almost exactly 5 innings per start in the minors this year.
And that's what I gave him today. I gave him 5
fewer
innings.
Than 5 innings per start last year. So yeah, he's that's a great call. Very, very big time pitch count risk guy.
His lack of innings last year was actually just a little bit of, I think it was probably a little bit of run bad. Like, he was really bad in BABIP, and I think he probably just elevated his pitch count. Like, you're right. He was good last year when he was able to pitch, sort of an elite strikeout rate. And he's been able to show that. So yeah, that might be the way to go. I'm going to research today, where to go research just to make sure what we think his pitch count is going to be before we get out of here. Stacks to concentrate here. I mean, the Cubs have by far the highest total. Are the Cubs the team we're just trying to stack above anybody else?
Yeah, I think so. It will be easy to do so if you wind up grabbing Godley too. Obviously, anytime you can stack a team filled with power lefty bats against Mike Pelfrey, you should do so. Pelfrey continues just to cruise along, collecting a major league paycheck. Tough to sort of figure out why, other than, you know, he kind of cuts the image of it. I think this is where I've landed with Pelfrey. He stays in the majors because he looks exactly like a major league pitcher. Like, he's just,
oh, that's a great call.
Right? Yeah. He's like tall. He's got the strong jaw. He actually kind of throws hard. So he's out there. And if you are not the type of person that understands numbers, you look and you're like, oh, big Pelf's got his gas again. Yep. He's out there. He's throwing 93 miles an hour, whatever. And like, he's just actually terrible. But you're just like a dumb manager and you can't figure it out. That's the only thing I can figure out. Because if you look at any of the numbers over really the course of his entire career, but at the very least since 2012, maybe you can say he was okay in 2012 when he threw 19 innings for the Mets with a 2 ERA. But you can go back quite a bit further than that. He's never had a season with a sub-4 XFIP. So yeah, just a bad pitcher. One of the very worst in Major League history when it's all said and done in terms of just total innings pitched. Like, if you divide his innings pitched by his WAR, I wonder how many people have a fewer WAR after 1,400 innings pitched. Pelfrey's awful. The Cubs are great. Great stack.
Yeah, they have implied more than 6 runs, which is a run more than the next closest team. And actually, that if you're looking for another reason to maybe go Godley even on FanDuel, is that reason. Like, you just get the best, most expensive bats against, like you said, one of the worst pitchers in baseball. And that actually could break the tie.
You can do that on DraftKings, too. You just grab all 5 and it's go time.
Well, that actually is the case against Lester, because if you want to start 4 Cubs, you can't play Lester because then you run out of your spots of how many Cubs you can play. That actually is a real concern, right?
You're right.
Like, so if you want to play like the top four Cubs guys in the lineup, then now you're choosing just between Archer and Godley. Honestly, it's kind of the same on DraftKings, where you can play 5 of the guys. If you just want to play the first 5 guys in the order, then you kind of eliminated Lester. There you go. I talked myself out of Lester just from that standpoint. All right, we're going to get out of here. It's a quick podcast today, short slate of baseball. Go over to the site, dfsr.com/MLB. That'll still get you a free 3-day trial into our projection system with optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, powered by Lineup Lab. We will be back
tomorrow. While you're at it, check out fantasyfactor.com using promo code DFSR as well for a 25% no-drip deposit. Fantasy Factor, baby. Check them out.
Bing, we will be back tomorrow. I will do better with my – I will not confuse my consonants and sentences anymore. I promise. We'll see you guys again tomorrow for a full Friday in baseball. Take it easy.
See ya.